Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You'll be aware that we've been conducting these wonderful, when I say wonderful, absolutely fantastic profile interviews, because the guests we've had so far are phenomenal, phenomenal people who have made an impact. And today, if you are someone in the advertising industry, in the marketing industry, you would know without a doubt who my next guest is. Her name is Dr. Sizakele Marutlule, who is, she calls herself other things, but I'll tell you, she's a brand and marketing guru. That's how I see her. She's a strategy executive and a creative problem solver, and she's done many, many, many things in her career. But we're going to speak to her about this exciting project that she's doing right now. But I just want to just give you a sense of who this wonderful woman is on the line with me this evening. Sizakele, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and welcome. For a minute, I thought you were speaking of someone else.
Well, the title is Dr. Sizakele Marutlule, and it's not an honorary one. So we can safely say you've worked very hard to be where you are right now. So welcome, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us. It's wonderful being able to chat to you this evening.
I want to just take us a little bit back to where your career started and what it must have been like, because I remember the time, and I want to know what it was like when you were in the industry, in the advertising industry. You were at Herd Boys, which was the first black advertising agency in the country. Very exciting time. Very, very exciting time. And I just want to get a sense of being in the thick of it at that time, where there's just opportunities galore and the country's buzzing, everybody's excited. What was that like?
Oh, you're speaking to a child of the revolution. I like to think of myself in that way, because part of what was happening at the time, Pamelo, is because we were so young, we truly were just moving at the pace of what was unfurling. Yeah. And we weren't paying too much attention to the people you were meeting, or even importantly, to like the people you were ignoring or as you were galloping to the top of the ladder. Right? You think everyone is slowing you down. Like, no, I don't have time to slow down. I got to keep galloping. Yeah. But there was a sense of responsibility, because Herd Boys being the first black owned and black managed agent, this is before BEE and all these updates that we see now, you know that you had five confident black men who came together and said, we don't like the image of the consumer who's black that is being fed into our television screens. And you have so many latchkey kids. So how about we start a shop that will reflect the blackness that we understand, love, and respect, a black that is excellent, a black that is ambitious, a black that is joyful. So you're not always seeing us crying, like we're always crying or sad or things like that. So the mission and the intention of the agency was just to create something magnificent and have that reflect in a way that would make you proud to export African excellence to the world. So it was a grand time, a really, really grand time. Some bad habits learned along the way, like not washing your jeans for a whole week.
I was going to say, because everybody who was in that space would reflect on the pulse of the agency. So this thing that you cannot quite touch, the energy in the agency, but most importantly, the freedom for you to just, you know, be the best you can be, to be as creative as you can be, and be supported by the owners of the agency, the pioneers in this game, must have been absolutely fantastic.
And also just to understand that because people held you in high regard, you had a responsibility to raise your own game. So the assumption isn't made that on account of your blackness or on account of your gender, we've got to the standards. Okay, so now there's a girl who's deputy MD, let's make the mark 33%. No. Was you are expected to excel. So and also because we were aware, I mean, we had Pamela, we had clients who fired us sight unseen. Like literally, we merged with McCann Erickson and we've got these people with 10 letter surnames. And some people are going, I don't think they know how to run business. You haven't even met us, right? So part of what you needed to do, of course, there are two things. One is you're displacing this negative stereotype about what people think we can and can't do, and you're replacing it with a standard that is non-negotiable around excellence and greatness. You know, so everyone in the agency knew that, yeah, we have a good time. The bar's open on Friday. You can call your friends and you can leave us at on Saturday morning. But come Monday, we don't care whether your eyes are bloodshot. You're going to show up and you're going to deliver.
And I think now of some of the campaigns that that agency produced. Iconic, absolutely iconic. And I cannot imagine what it was like being in the room when those were conceptualized. And I remember there was a then designed SAA, I think it was an SAA ad.
Miriam McKevitt.
Yes! And absolutely iconic, designed Bafana Bafana and designer as well. And many, many others, which were just, you know, as I said, reflective of who we are, and just the pulse of this nation that's raring to go. And as you said, you know, be excellent at that time.
That is, and also, so, I mean, I remember we did a body of work, but this is how funny this was. We actually were at the SAA offices on the day that 911 happened.
Oh, wow.
And I promise you, and the creative director was presenting an ad on the safety of flying.
Oh, my word. Oh, wow.
So you're in your client's office. You see these planes fly into the world. You think this is a clip from a movie. It's America.
I also thought it is showing shortly.
Yeah.
Oh, you're killing me. Yes, that's exactly what I also thought when I saw that plane.
Kitty showing shortly. No, this is fine. We'll go back to the word. No, it was real. So we've had moments like that. We've had moments where you were casting a group of young kids, we're recording a spot for the Human Rights Commission. And you've got these black and white kids who are arguing about how they'll tell each other apart. So the one says, we'll wear different color shirts. It doesn't occur to him to say, no, but you're black.
I'm black.
He's like, no, you guys will wear a different color shirt. So the nature of the work we did then and the nature of the work that I continue to do now has to sit at that place where culture intersects with commerce and creativity. So you use your unique skills and talents to advance this human family. Like you have a responsibility to use your gift in a way that elevates how we experience this thing we call life.
You call it now the human-centric creativity, creativism. And I wonder, at a time when we actually seem a little bit more divided than then, it does seem like that many of the times when I sit here talking to different stakeholders, listeners, politicians and the like, we sound quite angry, quite despondent, quite divided. Must be quite a task for you to keep moving in this vein where you want to see humanity at the center of creativity and marketing strategies and so on.
Do you know what's fantastic though is in the same way that 10 years ago we were speaking about shared value and everyone would roll their eyes and going, what do you mean? Where the reason for business is profit. And now everybody understands that if you're not doing the triple P bottom line, you're not passing. I'm confident that we'll have ample more summers on this earth to get to a place where this idea of being human-centric doesn't sound like the imagination.
Pie in the sky,
you know what I mean? Like some very crazy sociologists turned strategists who are trying to give us new words. Because if you start with a human in mind, then you're attending to all the things that money can't buy, right? Because when I'm promoting a banking product, I'm trying to sell you something. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you 5% more interest or what I'm trying to sell you a car. But if I'm attending to the things that matter to you, then I'm planning for all of you as opposed to just the consumptive part of you. So I'm encouraged by that sort of movement, and the choices we make in the clients we choose to work with are clients who are also understanding that creativism is this idea of turning creativity into activism, and you're using it to drive social good.
I'm hopeful. Are clients hearing you? How difficult is it to make that point to clients?
You know what's wonderful, though, is that you're always going to have the pioneers, and then you're going to have the people who follow because 100 people have followed. So we work at the pace of those who are moving at the pace of culture, and the early adopters will come with you. So, for example, you're speaking to me now, and we're doing some interesting work in the Stellenbosch area. I'll talk to you about it just now. because we've been invited to Festival Direct, a leadership summit called Africa and the World. We think of it as a festival of hearts and minds, as opposed to just, because the minute you say festival, a lot of people think, oh, it's your jiva. Mm-hmm. Of course you will. There's music in it, so it's joyful. But at its core is an invitation-only gathering of the smartest and brightest and most committed minds from around the world who want to concentrate their energy on solving for things that hold Africa back. I mean, how many times do we have a conversation about Africa must prosper, Africa has the youngest population, Africa has great promise. Mm. We have to be intentional about getting in a room and saying, what are the things that limit her growth? Mm. Disease is one of them, right? Mm-hmm. Lack of intertrade is one of them. Mm. Lack of infrastructure is one of them. Lack of financing for female businesses is one of them. So in the program for this year, we have experts from around the world who are speaking to some of these things and more. So yeah, so I'm encouraged. It takes one brave client to do something amazing, and then hopefully those who are looking will come on board, and then next year we'll have 100 more people who are doing something great.
We've been talking about Africa being in the center of the world for a long time, the shift needing to happen sooner rather than later. And of course now we are headed to this festival, but while you're preparing, you obviously have very talented people. I mean, your lineup is absolutely incredible. Thought leaders, I mean, real thought leaders, global thought leaders. Yes, they may be African, but they really are ahead of the pack. Why is it taking so long? What's the sense of what's actually holding us back, even as we have these great minds and we do yearn for the same thing? We want Africa to be at the center of the world and we want to advance. What's your sense of why it's taking so long?
Several things, right? So one, you're looking for business partners who can invest in an idea as big as this, right? So Delo Lojede, who is the founder and the host of the festival, needed a landing and fertile ground for people who can say, we can see into your imagination and we'll partner with you in whichever way we can. So this year we've got Standard Bank who've said, we recognize your madness, we are on that bus with you, right? So that's what it takes, whether it's Spear or Luminate or Remco or any of these, all of them have just said, we believe in the future that you think is possible for Africa. So that's the first one, is willing partners. The second one is clarity on what the real barriers are. Mm. Right? Let's think about something real. We've got two people who are coming onto our stage this year, Dr. Adrian Hill and Dr. Ali Olotu. They'll be speaking about how we can make malaria history. Mm. This is a curable disease, right? Yet 94% of those infections are on the continent. 600,000 people die from a disease that can be prevented. Mm. So when you start thinking about it that way, then you're saying, instead of just glorifying how young a population Africa has, if we don't attend to these things, we won't have a next generation after this young generation we're all excited about, right? Yeah. So that's what you want to do, is really just say, how then do we improve inter-Africa trade? You've got a voice from a Standard Bank in partnership with a representative from the World Bank speaking about a new growth story for Africa. What do we need? You know, and why do we have such poor succession planning if you're looking at the political landscape? Yeah. So these are the things that, I guess, part of what we're doing here is, rather than the World Economic Forum, where you have rich people telling developing nations what to do, or Aspen Festival of Ideas, which is fantastic because it powers the mind and fuels the imagination, what you're doing is almost the intersection of those two platforms, and which is big ideas.
And I suppose connecting the dots, you know, they're these big ideas, there are all these ambitions, we all want the same thing, but how is it that we're not getting there together at the same time, so to speak?
Yes. And I know some people will say, but if this is an invitation only session, then how do people get to participate? We've thought about that, right? Mm-hmm. So If people follow us on social media, I'll give you the links just now. Some of the sessions will be live streamed. So you'll be able to join and follow the conversation on malaria. You'll be able to join and follow the conversation on artificial intelligence, what it is and what it isn't, mm-hmm. because it's all buzz now. You'll be able to join conversations around the revolution will be tweeted. We had a lengthy laugh that mm-hmm. if it's no longer tweet, it's Twitter now, it's now X. So will the yes. revolution be X? So your listeners will have an occasion to follow us on social and just follow through the conversation on the stuff that we'll have live streamed. And then to balance it, because it's a festival, we're also hosting these free lunchtime sessions for the people of Stellenbosch. So every day from Wednesday the 4th, outside Town Hall, people will have free live music to listen to, courtesy of Africa and the World. Mm-hmm. So we've tried really to bring people who are outside into the inside and people who are inside to give them a taste of what real life is in the streets.
I mean, I'm really looking forward to some of the conversations that will come, hopefully being very frank and being yes. quite robust about some of the challenges we have. I'm thinking now, you know, Elon Musk X has just been, you know, removed from banned from Brazil, a developing yes. country, a big, big thing, because yes. one has to ask the questions, you know, country first or advancement of freedom of communication and all of that, and freedom of speech. He calls it freedom of speech. I'm only saying what he's calling it. but you just how we navigate ourselves around a world that doesn't necessarily comply, because he didn't comply with Brazil's laws, and how we also become part of the world, even as we stand for our own rights.
That is, and also how you can't make ethics or human rights optional in yes. pursuit of a unicorn yes. status, right? Yes. Because part of the challenge is that accelerated growth can't happen at the expense of humans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Humans must trump whatever we're designing around. So yeah. so these are frank conversations. And I think we live in, because the Chinese said this, that we live in interesting times. But this is the time when those of us who are committed to seeing Africa prosper, or even our own nations prosper. I mean, South Africa was still in the early days of the GNU, which is why it's exciting to have the mayor of Cape Town come and speak to us about politics as if people mattered. Like, how might that look, you know? So we truly are, as a nation, I think, at a beautiful yet crucial moment that we shouldn't squander the dividend of people believing that we can again.
My guest is Dr. Sizakele Marutlule. I'm going to be speaking to her all the way until 9. You're very, very welcome to give us a call on 086-000-0959. You can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959. You may know her during her days in advertising right here in Johannesburg. I mean, as I said, downright just a guru of note in the advertising and marketing space, and she's on to something quite phenomenal at the moment, so I thought we should talk about it. But me take a quick break. I'll be back with more after this. Dr. Sizakele Marutlule is my guest, and she is really somebody who is a powerful mind, a guru in the marketing and advertising space. But they are really doing something quite amazing at the moment, and it's called Africa in the World. They are putting together this festival that's going to be in Cape Town, and it is by invitation only, for good reason. She'll explain to us why. But you should have a look at the socials and have a look at the guest list, and you should have a look at the speakers that are going to be there and the kinds of conversations that need to be had that will be happening in this year's program. She's on the line with me as we continue our conversation. Sizakele, again, thanks again for staying with us. I wanted to just say, you know, there are conversations that need to be had. And as we said earlier, you know, quite frankly, so you often hear people in capital say, well, the problem with South Africa is that we are such a unionized country, you know, while you have to pay wages, you've got to worry about minimum wage and so on. And I suppose in your human centric ideas of creativity, you bring the sensitivity to the table to say, look, yes, because humans matter. You know, you cannot be speaking business and neglecting the well-being of the humans who are helping you pull and push forward this business.
That is very true. I mean, it almost feels too simple to even bring people's attention to the fact that we win through humans.
Yeah.
So the people you are expecting to deliver these goods on your behalf and to be nice to the customers you serve, if you treat them poorly, what is the motivation? Right. So it's not so much that you lead because you've got the role and you're the CEO of this or the CEO of this. You lead from where you are and you lead from who you are. So if we can centralize the idea around compassion, humility, and grace, and this sense of servant leadership, then I think many of the problems we're seeing today may dispense of themselves, because then you'll have leaders who understand that they win through others. And then corporate bullying or this toxicity that we're talking about may very well be things that we see in the rearview mirror. I pray.
And that's important, because we keep getting these studies that say, look, happy employees in the end are more productive. But somehow there seems to be a disconnect or a refusal to accept the fact that if people are happy, you're likely to get the best results from from your workers if they want to come to work, if they're happy at work, if they want to give of themselves more than you have to ask of them to deliver.
You're speaking, by the way, to a reformed manager, right? And I to think that over the last 10 years, I've evolved into some pseudo-decent leader. But what I didn't understand in the beginning was this idea of screaming at people to try and get their obedience is an old way of running any team. Because humans, particularly people who are self-respecting, they don't respond to intimidation. They respond to inspiration.
Yes.
Because people volunteer their spirit and their service to join you on a particular path. So you can't comply, to get them to do that. But if you motivate them, then they will deliver even when you're not looking. And you know this, Mello, when you work with a team member who will call you on a Sunday long after the show is gone to go, hey, I heard this on another radio station. I think there's an idea that we can. Then you know that people are invested in something. So I'm hopeful that leaders, wherever they are sitting and wherever they're listening, they can finally understand that when they give more in the form of heart, they win more in the long term.
Part of the problem, though, is a legacy problem, right? Because this is Africa. So the world and the globe and corporations understand that for themselves in other parts of the world. And I think in the UK now, they're discussing the four-day week. And it's a thing. It's a real thing at a policy level. But that's because I think they see themselves first as humans. But corporations and the world has struggled to see African bodies as human or equally human as they are. You look at how mine workers struggle and the like. We can go on and on. But isn't that part of the problem? The idea to shift the mindset about how African bodies themselves are equally human.
Yeah, and also to be very deliberate in saying, if you continue to see the African being as a political entity as opposed to a human being, then we're never, ever going to trump this, right? So this idea, I think earlier today we were talking about how the data's out there about how medical apartheid, if you're a black woman and you complain about something, a doctor will say, you're fine, just take the Panadol and go home. But if you're not, then your pain is taken seriously and some level of help will be showered upon you. All those nuances are things that still exist in the architecture of our society. And if you don't attend to unraveling each thread intentionally with every interaction, we'll be sitting here in another year, in another 5 years, still having these conversations. But what is important is when you are in a room with people who are like-spirited, not just like-minded, Pamela, they have to be like-spirited, then you know that you're swimming in the same direction.
Well, this
so I remain hopeful.
It's exciting. It's exciting because, as you said earlier, you then have, it's all good to have a coffee and a drink and people say, great, cheers, fantastic, good luck. But when you have capital and some backing, real backing behind this, I think it is encouraging. So I think we're all looking forward to it. Give us the details.
So Africa and the World is running in Stellenbosch from the 4th to the 7th. Like we said up front, it's an invitation only, but you can follow us from the outside. So on X, we are Africa in World. on Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. We are Africa in the World. Just follow, you'll see the posts, you'll see the conversations, you'll see some of the speakers who are coming to join us. If you're in Stellenbosch, please, for the next 3 days, from the 4th to the 7th, just pack your lunch and come sit outside the town hall and have music that the festival is offering you, because you are the townsfolk. And as we said, it's a festival. Therefore, we should be able to share with you whether you are in the room or not in the room. So it's going to be a fantastic time. I'm just hoping that the weather plays along so that the sun stays out and people can have a glorious time.
Oh, no, they can come anytime. They will come still. This is Cape Town, right? It doesn't matter. This is Cape Town. They're used to it. So thank you. Really appreciate it. Festival Director, Africa in the World, Dr. Sizakele Marutlule. And as she said, go to the socials, follow them there, and there will definitely be an opportunity for you to be a part of this really magnificent festival. Because look, it may be closed, but there are many, many ways for you to engage. There are many, many ways for you to be a part of it, especially if you are in Stellenbosch. But if you're not, you can just follow some of the links. They will have some conversations that are open to all of us. And I think they'll be very, very fruitful. So really appreciate your time. Sizakele, thank you. I really appreciate it.
How delightful. Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.